The invocation is by the President of the Board of Trustees, the Reverend Carl A. Hudson of Louisiana.
May we pray together. Father, we delight in the privilege and the responsibility, the thrill and the excitement of pausing in adoration and praise to our eternal God. For these sacred moments in this holy place, for the symbolism, for the significance, and for the celebration that we share in this evening, we come together asking and praying for your blessings, your leadership, and praying, Father, that from this assembly, that we go back into the world scattered through the communities, being reminded of the eternal teacher, and being reminded of the very presence of our eternal Savior. We pray especially for these young men and these young ladies, for the loved ones, for the families, for this administration, for this faculty. Lord, we pray that your Spirit may move in our midst, and that above all, that as we're scattered from this congregation, that we go in the name of Jesus. And even in this assembly this evening, we pray for keen awareness of your presence. Bless now and use this occasion and this great institution, that our dedication through this institution may continue to be but a mere token of the eternal dedication that we have to our living Christ. Use now this evening for our Lord's glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
In the absence of the Reverend Dr. J. Leo Green, due to illness tonight, the scripture will be read and prayer will be led by Dr. John Steele.
Scripture reading is found in the Gospel according to Luke in the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then said Jesus, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Here ends the reading of the scripture. May we pray together. Our Father, it is by thy grace that we all have come to this good hour. We praise thee with thanksgiving for all thy gifts. Especially now do we bless thee for this time, this place, and this company wherein we meet. Thy mercies, both manifest and hidden from our eyes, have companioned us even from before our birth. And here, in this time of celebration, they surround us as a host of thy heavenly messengers. Even through the manifold ways of our rebellion against thee, thy gentle pursuit of us has never faltered. Now, as we bless thee for thy persistent love, we would confess our faults and, in confession, receive the assurance of thy forgiveness. We have demanded too much and have expected too little. We have been sensitive about ourselves and insensitive to each other. We have countenanced evil and condoned oppression, yet we are too quick to take offense. Draw us, we pray, from these narrow, constricted ways into the glorious freedom of the children of God. A special prayer of thanksgiving and of petition we offer to thee, our Father, for these of our company who go out from these halls at this commencement time to find the places of ministry for which thou hast called and prepared them. May they go from strength to yet greater strength with ever-increasing joy. May their lives be adorned with the beauty of holiness, of compassion, and of courage. Take the words of thy servant who shall speak to us and use them to enlarge our vision, to lift our aims, and to draw us more surely into the path of thy purposes for us all. Give to us the unutterable peace of thy presence through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
One of the ways the students express their devotion to this school is the presentation of a gift to the seminary at the commencement season each year. At this time, I have the honor to recognize Mr. Larry O'Neill Key, who represents the graduating class and who will present a gift to the seminary.
The senior class this year would like to donate its gift for the purchase of audio equipment for the library. We also wish to make this gift in memory of Miss Elsie Adkins, who graduated last year. And it's my pleasure to present to Dr. Binkley this gift on behalf of the class of 1974.
On behalf of the seminary, I am happy to accept this gift, a worthy tribute to one who died early, but who still lives, and to promise that this gift will be used in harmony with the purpose of the donors. On behalf of my colleagues, I welcome all who have come to participate in the commencement exercise tonight, especially to hear the sermon. Each year, the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary presents a few awards for distinguished work. In a moment, I shall recognize the scholar who will present these awards. First of all, let me say that Dean Raymond Bryan Brown, who has served this school for 10 years as a member of the faculty and for 8 years as academic dean, has asked to be relieved of his duties as academic dean in order that he may return to full-time teaching as professor of New Testament interpretation. I should like to pay tribute to the excellence as well as the scope of his work in our midst. At this time, I recognize Dean Raymond Bryan Brown, who has been granted sabbatical leave for the 1974 fall semester by the Board of Trustees, and who will make the presentations on behalf of the faculty tonight.
President Binkley.
On behalf of the faculty, it is my pleasure to present the following awards. The S.L. Staley Church History Award, which is an annual award of a silver cup presented to the student who submits the best term paper in church history, to Mr. Herbert M. Hamm. The R.T. Daniel Award in Old Testament, which is an annual award of cash for purchase of books in the Old Testament field, made to a student who's demonstrated exceptional ability and achievement in the study of Old Testament, to Mr. William H. Bellinger, Jr. The Nannie Bruce Nelson Award in New Testament,
which is an annual award issued as a certificate for the purchase of books given to a graduating senior for excellence in the study of the New Testament, to Mr. Donald Norris Penny. The Francis Jackson Durham Hebrew Prize, which is an annual prize awarded to a student who has shown proficiency in the mastery of the Hebrew language on either the elementary or advanced level, to Mr. Isaac Block. The American Bible Society Award for Excellence in the Public Reading of the Scriptures, to Mr. Isaac Block. The Broadman Press Award to the graduating senior with the highest academic average, to Mr. Donald Norris Penny. Dr. Binkley, to you who complete 22 years of service to the seminary, 11 of them as president, we award our hearts of gratitude. All of us who gather here this evening pay tribute to your leadership in the cause of Christ.
I am very grateful for these generous words and for this identification with the graduating class. I also begin a new stage in the journey of life on July 31, 1974. After 22 years of relentless but happy labor on behalf of this school. After the anthem, the commencement sermon will be preached by the Reverend Robert Hayne Rivers, Sr., pastor of the First Baptist Church of Union, South Carolina. Mr. Rivers is a native of South Carolina. He attended Auburn University. He earned the BA degree at Furman University, the BD degree at the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, the Master of Theology degree at the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, the Master of Arts degree in Southern History at Duke University, and he has completed the residency for the PhD degree in English History at the University of North Carolina, and is presently enrolled in the course of study leading to the Doctor of Ministry degree in the school. These are evidences of his love of learning and of his understanding that study is a lifelong process in the ministry of those who truly serve our Lord. He is a careful thinker, a wise interpreter of the Christian mission and message, a kind and courageous prophet of God's purpose, and a minister of encouragement as a pastor. I know that we shall be eager to hear and to remember his message. After the anthem, he will speak to us.
Preachers, the gospel of peace. Our love, we are the messengers. President Binkley,
members of the faculty, members of the Board of Trustees, graduates of the class of 1974, friends and loved ones, it is a distinct honor for me to come back to my alma mater to share in this commencement occasion. And it means so much to me because this is the last graduation that Dr. Binkley will enjoy as president of this school. Please allow me, Dr. Binkley, to express my profoundest appreciation for the years of service that you have given to Southeastern Seminary. Your contribution through the classroom has been a lasting one. Your administration as president of Southeastern has been a stable and constructive one. Your personal faith has been an inspiration to many, such as myself. Southeastern is a finer school, and we are richer Christians for having known you and learned at your feet. As an old graduate coming home, I would like just a moment to reminisce. I was sitting where the graduates are seated tonight 18 years ago when the third graduating class was leaving this school. As Larry came forward tonight and presented the gift from the seniors, I could not help but remember my responsibility that night. As representing the senior class, I came forward out of the ranks of graduates and presented the seminary our gift, and I very nearly became the first man to graduate on one evening and become a jailbird the next day. We had determined, as members of the class of 1956, to endow a library shelf. Our class was not large. We assessed each member of the class, hoping that each man would come through with the $11 that would be required to furnish the $1,000 gift to the seminary. When the night of graduation came, Troy Bennett and I got together and calculated that we had $811 and a sack full of promises. But we went on and wrote the check for $1,000, believing in the good faith of the graduates of that year. And I came forward and presented the check to the chairman of the Board of Trustees, who of necessity will remain anonymous. And the next day, realizing that the money had not been forthcoming, I quickly ran and found Troy and said, "Troy, that check is going to bounce all over Wake Forest if we don't make some kind of adjustment." And so we ran quickly to the business office, and we said to them very frantically, "Has the check come in? We want to take it and tear it up and write it for the actual amount that our graduates have given." And the dear lady in the financial office said, "What check?" And my friends, to this day, we don't know what happened to that check, but we did write another check for the exact amount that we had. And throughout the years, I've been trying personally to make up the difference between what we gave and what we owed in endowing that library shelf. You know, when you have an opportunity such as this thrust upon you, you want to say something that will be helpful to the graduates. And as I searched my mind, thinking of the opportunity of this occasion, I came to the very firm conviction that we need a revival of gratitude among our Christian servants in the Southern Baptist Convention. And tonight, I'm speaking to you on the topic, "Lest We Forget." Lest we forget. Let me say that there will be a paucity of profundities, because in hearing Dr. Durham tonight,
We are very well confident that profundity abounded in the dining hall at the dinner. And so the message will be very simple and straight to the point. In 1897, Rudyard Kipling wrote the hymn, Recessional, in commemoration of Queen Victoria's Diamond Jubilee. Kipling recounts the blessings of God to England and concludes several stanzas with the prayerful refrain, Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. This is an excellent prayer for the graduates of Southeastern Seminary in 1974. And perhaps we should add to this prayer, the psalmist's words of praise, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Thank God for the capacity to remember. This is a time for remembering God's goodness in directing our paths to Southeastern Seminary and for leading us through the discipline of study and learning these past years. G.A. Stoddard Kennedy has reminded us that God gave his children memory that in life's garden there might be June roses in September. As I grow older and treasure cherished memories of Southeastern, churches served, children growing up, I can increasingly appreciate the truth of these words. I am concerned that as you leave Southeastern, that it will be with pleasant memories translated into gracious spirits of gratitude throughout your ministry. Androcles, the Roman slave, has reminded us that gratitude is the sign of a noble soul. It is my prayer in addressing the Southeastern graduates tonight that I am speaking to noble souls, those who will be outstanding through the years for their spirit of gratitude. Throughout the years that have elapsed since leaving Southeastern, I have observed that those ministers who were the most committed, the best adjusted, and the most serviceable were men possessed by a spirit of gratitude. On the other hand, those men who, in my observation, were the most dissatisfied and maladjusted were basically self-seeking individuals whose very being was eaten up with the cancer of ingratitude. Is it any wonder that Shakespeare wrote in Twelfth Night, I hate ingratitude more in a man than lying, vainness, babbling drunkenness, or any taint or vice whose strong corruption inhabits our frail blood. The Bible clearly reveals that Jesus looked for and appreciated the quality of gratitude in others. We read in Luke's gospel how Jesus compassionately healed 10 lepers. Only one of the 10, a Samaritan, returned to express gratitude. Jesus questioned, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? He was concerned about the absence of appreciation, saying, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. On another occasion, when our Lord was a guest in the home of Simon the Pharisee, he rebuked his host for failing to provide the simple social amenities of the gracious host, the kiss, the washing of the feet, and the anointing of the head. Jesus then commended the gracious anointing by the woman identified merely as a sinner by Luke. Our Lord appreciated gratitude in any life, regardless of how society looked upon the person. He is looking for this quality in our lives today. As the class of 1974 leaves Southeastern, may I suggest that through the years to come, there should be a perpetual stream of gratitude flowing back to this institution from its graduates. As I recall the many benefits that give Southeastern graduates cause to be grateful, I'm reminded of our Southern Baptist heritage and our Baptist forefathers who had a vision for providing theological education for young ministers in the South. Though it was not until the last half of the 19th century that Southern Baptists could boast of having even one seminary, this did not keep visionary Baptists from dreaming dreams about theological education for Baptists in the South. As early as 1835, Basil Manley Sr. proposed a seminary for Baptists in the South. Manley had secured his theological training through private study under Dr. W.T. Brantley in Beaufort, South Carolina. And he recognized the need for an institution where young ministers could be trained for the ministry. Unfortunately, Baptists were not prepared to support Manley's proposal at this early date. When the Southern Baptist Convention was organized in 1845, Baptist needs for a theological institution in the South grew more acute. Schools such as Hamilton Literary and Theological Institute, Rochester Theological Seminary, and Newton Theological Institute were all in the North and under Northern Baptist jurisdiction. It was a great day for Southern Baptists when they opened the doors of their first theological institution in 1859 in Greenville, South Carolina. The names of the first faculty members, Boyce, Broadus, Manley Jr., and Williams, have become immortal in the annals of Southern Baptist. Southern Baptist brought a new innovation to theological education when Southern Seminary was founded. Dr. John R. Sampey observed earlier in this century that before 1859, not one of the 12 apostles could have secured admittance as a regular student in any of the standard theological seminaries of our country. James P. Boyce, chairman of the faculty, advocated, however, that both college and non-college men be admitted to the new seminary, despite some protest that this would contribute to lowering the standards of theological education. Boyce admitted that scriptural qualifications for the seminary required knowledge, but insisted that this knowledge was not one of the sciences or philosophy or of the languages, but of God and of His plan of salvation. Remember that. Reflect on it. He pointed out that the man of God who has not this knowledge, though he be learned in all the learning of the schools, is incapable of preaching the Word of God. I am grateful that Southeastern offers a certificate program and admire the fine men who study in this program. Many of them have left established positions with churches and in the secular world to prepare themselves for the ministry at a great personal sacrifice. It is appropriate that Southeastern is recognizing an outstanding student in the certificate program at graduation time. In 1949, some 90 years after the establishment of Southern Baptist's first theological school, a special study committee brought a recommendation before the Southern Baptist Convention that two new seminaries, one in the West and one in the East, be established. As a result of this proposal, and the acceptance of the offer of Wake Forest trustees to sell their campus in Wake Forest to the Southern Baptist Convention, Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary opened in the fall of 1951 for its first session. Today, Southeastern is one of six theological schools supported by Southern Baptist. For 21 years, Southeastern has been sending her graduates throughout the world and into a multiplicity of ministries. Her alumni group, including this year's graduating class, has grown to more than 2,800. I am grateful to be the beneficiary of such a great legacy. Southeastern students and alumni should be grateful for the financial support Southern Baptists give their theological schools, making it possible for us to secure quality training at a minimal cost. While Southern Baptists have placed no strings on us in giving to theological education, we have an indebtedness to our denomination which we could hardly repay in a lifetime. The vehicle or channel for denominational support of our seminaries is the cooperative program. Do you realize what the cooperative program has meant to you, my friends, in terms of reduced seminary cost? In 1974, Southeastern Seminary will receive $1,019,303 through the cooperative program. This represents approximately 70% of the school's operating budget for the year. If cooperative program gifts had not been forthcoming, and you and I had been called upon to make it up through out-of-the-pocket tuition payment, each of us, and I include myself because I have been enrolled throughout this academic year, each of us would have had to pay approximately $1,700 tuition for this school year. Many other theological schools in our nation, lacking adequate financial backing of the mother denomination, are having to charge sizable tuition. Last week, a Presbyterian denominational leader and I were conversing, and he expressed his desire to attend one of their seminaries to obtain his Doctor of Ministry degree. He stated with chagrin that it would be unlikely that he could manage it because of the initial charge of $500 and a later assessment of $600 a semester for tuition. I suggested that perhaps he should write Dr. Fred Sandusky a tear-stained letter. And by the way, this poor Presbyterian brother lived in a 15-room home with five baths. I do not know what your conception is of the cooperative program, but let me assure you that it has been used successfully by Southern Baptists for 49 years as the unified means of mission support, which includes our seminary. I left Southeastern Seminary years ago fully convinced that one thing I could do to repay Southern Baptists for my theological education was to endeavor to build strength of giving through the cooperative program in churches I serve. It has been my pleasure and delight to help channel $750,000 through the cooperative program and part of it onto Southeastern Seminary. If I live to age 65, it is my personal goal to help channel $1.5 million through the cooperative program. Even if I am able to see this accomplished, I will not have repaid Southern Baptist for the theological education that was provided me at Southeastern Seminary. The reason for this is that for every $100 given through the cooperative program, approximately $1 will reach Southeastern Seminary. Now, if I should be successful in my goal of leading churches to give $1,800,000 plus through the cooperative program throughout my ministry, Southeastern will receive approximately $18,666 of this amount. This will nearly, not quite, but nearly be equal to the interest payments on the amount Southern Baptist invested in me during my 4.5 years of study in this school. So you see, I can hardly lead churches I serve to give too much through the cooperative program. Increased giving through the cooperative program means increased financial support for our institution. Perhaps in the years ahead, some of you will be in a position to help theological education receive a greater percentage of the cooperative program dollar. If you are, I hope that you will do it. The cost of theological education is influenced by our present inflationary spiral. And if we do not help our school, the day may come when it would be necessary to charge students a substantial tuition in order to keep the doors of this school open. It is possible that some of you who are Baptist may be leaving this institution with no sense of indebtedness to the cooperative program and Southern Baptist. Perhaps you have no intention of strengthening the cooperative program as a vehicle of financial support for this school in spite of all I've said. If this is the case, I will respect your basic integrity more if you will slip over to the financial office tomorrow and leave an IOU for $5,100. This is about what Southern Baptists have invested in you through the cooperative program during your years of study here. There are additional ways to reflect gratitude to Southeastern. Some of you are not Southern Baptist, and what I've said about cooperative program support has not been applicable to you. Others of you will never serve as pastors and be in a position to build strong mission-giving churches. We can, however, all make an annual gift to our seminary as an expression of our appreciation. There is a tremendous potential for giving among the approximately 2,800 graduates of this seminary. Now listen, an average annual gift of $15 to $20 per graduate would return $500,000 to Southeastern Seminary. What a testimony of gratitude such a generous annual gift would be to our seminary and to Southern Baptist people. My friends, we're the ones leading and challenging our Southern Baptist people to liberality and giving. Isn't it fitting for us to lead the way, not only in our churches, but with regard to our seminary loyalty and giving? It has been rather disillusioning to me to see the lack of gratitude toward Southeastern on the part of many of our alumni. In our best alumni giving years, we have had only 1 out of 5 contribute to the annual giving campaign. Now, I want you to take a good look around you, graduates, up and down the row that you're seated on, before you and behind you. If yours is a typical class, an average of 1 out of 5 will say, "Thank you," each year to Southeastern Seminary. I'm reminded of Jesus' reaction to the ingratitude of the 9 lepers. "Where are they?" he asked. And Southeastern alumni are challenged to make a gift annually, and only 1 out of 5 responds, "I think I hear the master questioning, where are the other 4? Why don't we hear an expression of gratitude from them?" In the years that have elapsed since I graduated, I have served as giving chairman for the class of 1956 on 2 occasions, as vice president and president of the National Alumni Chapter. Serving in these capacities, I have helped spearhead 2 alumni giving campaigns and have reached the conclusion that trying to get some of our alumni to give even a token gift is like trying to harvest pumpkins in a turnip patch. We need a revival of the spirit of gratitude among Christian workers in our Southern Baptist Convention. Please, members of the class of 1974, don't relegate Southeastern Seminary to the graveyard of your affections in the years ahead. I would like to see this class prove itself distinctively different from all our other classes in the matter of gratitude. We can reflect our gratitude to our seminary by helping direct young people to Southeastern, young people who have felt the Lord's leading into a church-related vocation. Let me additionally suggest that you consider leading the church you serve or of which you are a member to underwrite their fees while in the seminary. Now, do I hear some weary graduate muttering, "I'll let them work for their education the same way I had to work"? The epitome of gracious living is attained when we want someone else to travel life's road with a little lighter burden than we have had to bear. I have been thrilled to see the willingness of churches I have served pay all the seminary fees for 3 church sons, 2 through Southeastern and 1 through Southern. And parenthetically, I helped that one who has just finished Southern in a revival last fall, and if he'd had his druthers and could go back, he would have matriculated right here too. Not every man can make the right first choice. We're preparing to do the same thing for 3 college ministerial students when they reach the seminary. I am confident that these young men will always be graciously disposed toward their home church, the seminary, and other young seminarians who follow in their footsteps. As the stream of gratitude flows from graduates to seminary over the years, let us gratefully acknowledge our indebtedness to the faculty and administration for the wealth of knowledge and experience they have shared with us. You will be surprised over the years at the number of times you will find yourself saying, "My professor at Southeastern said thus and such about this matter." Now, I want to advise you to qualify that and say, "My old professor at Southeastern Seminary said thus and such," because it makes them all sound like sages when you express it that way. Southern Baptists have been blessed through the years with those professors whom I would call second-mile professors, the kind who will willingly inconvenience themselves to go beyond the call of duty to see that the student grasp the material taught. Dr. John A. Broadus was such a professor. In the first session of Southern Seminary after the war between the North and the South, only 7 students were enrolled. Dr. Broadus had 1 student in his homiletics class.